How awesome is this place? Well, 2 weeks ago, I was with my family at my sister's home in Little Compton, Rhode Island. And Robert and Barbara had created their summer home to be a place where they could gather people in. And it was well decorated, and they thought about everything for anybody who would enter in that home. And they made food that looked like it was fit for kings and queens. And their presentation just caught you aghast at what you received. And what I heard from those who had never been to Barbara and Robert's home over and over again was, how awesome is this place? And they'd get caught up in the things that they saw. But having been there multiple times now, I realized what made Barbara and Robert's place awesome wasn't what it looked like, wasn't the furnishings within it, wasn't the amazing food on the table. What made that place awesome was Barbara and Robert's love for those who gathered there, was the fact that what they wanted was to provide hospitality to any who would enter, and that their love for one another and love for their children, its family, and love for their extended family made that place an awesome place. And I wonder if those who got entranced by the view and entranced by the things, if they caught that subtlety of place. Then I got to come home and go on a hayride with the kids, and we went to another place, and again I heard people coming into that place for the first time. How awesome is this place? Can I be adopted? And again, it struck me that people get excited about the structure when they don't realize that it's when people hold the things that God gives them lightly, knowing that they belong to God and not to them. They create a space where we can meet God and meet one another in love. What makes a place awesome is the relationship of the people to God and to one another. So I thought of other places that I've gone to, maybe even the kitchen of Hilma Smith, or maybe even to the place that we call Car Lake Rehab and Nursing Home when you sit with someone at their bedside. What makes a place awesome isn't the structure, but it's the relationship that happens. And we get caught up even in Jacob's story that we forget that. Because we get caught up with that ladder going up and down to heaven, and everyone's talking about what does the ladder mean, what does each step mean. When for Jacob, that isn't what that was about. For Jacob, what that was about was here he was in this ordinary place called the desert, and the only thing he had to rest his head on was a stone. Now, doesn't it always make you kind of go, didn't his neck hurt? That's where my head first goes. Every time I read that passage, didn't his neck hurt? So all he had in this deserted place was a stone to rest his head. It doesn't even say he had a blanket or anything to keep him warm in the cold desert night. But in the midst of that dream, God came and spoke to him and made a promise to Jacob. Remember who Jacob was? Jacob was the second son. Jacob was the one who grabbed hold of his twin brother on the way out, trying to get ahead of him to be firstborn. Jacob was the one who sold a bowl of stew so he could get his brother's birthright. Jacob was the one who wore that stuff so he could get his father's blessings. Jacob isn't the best character in the world. Yet think about what we heard in this scripture. God says, I will bless the world through you and your offspring. Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that give you hope that we who are sinners, God can use us just as we are, that God is going to bless us just as we are if we are faithful to God and God's covenant to us and proclaim God's message to the world? God will bless us. God will love us. Because look who God produced the 12 tribes of Israel from. Because that encounter with God doesn't change Jacob right away. When he goes to meet Laban, he even does some shenanigans there so he can get the best sheep. Jacob, the father of the nations, was a man who God loved regardless, A man who encountered God there in that vision, in that dream. And he woke up realizing in the midst of it all, this was an awesome place, even though it might have looked like some strange spot in the desert. That God was there, and he had an encounter, and he didn't know that that place was a place where he could meet God. So I had to think about us this morning and who we are and how awesome is this place. And we talk often and we take pictures often of this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary and gift that came from the love that people had for God and for one another and for the community, and that has grown and changed shape. It has been reformed over the years. But I thought about us and what makes this place awesome. It is about the relationships we have with God and with one another, and how we support one another in those good times and in those bad times, how we share with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren the story of Jesus, how we offer up hope in the world rather than despair, how we can proclaim a message that God loves us just as we are and wishes for us to be a blessing to the world. If you think about it, the Church of Jesus Christ began with what? 12 disciples? And now spans the globe. But all we hear is that that church is shrinking, that people don't get the message anymore, that people don't understand about this awesome place, this place where God and the human can meet. Jacob does a very interesting thing when he wakes up. He realizes that it is a sacred place. He realizes that he needs to do honor to that meeting he has with God. So he takes a stone from behind his head and he takes oil. And he pours the oil over the stone so that he can make a memorial to this moment where he and God met. And God made a promise to Jacob, and Jacob made a promise back to God. And then he did something else. He made a pledge, didn't he? He pledged, "I will give you 1/10 of all that you give me." Now, at this point, Jacob is just at the beginning of his journey. He doesn't know he's going to be rich with sheep from Laban at some point. He doesn't know he's going to have two wives and all these children and be the father of Israel. He doesn't know all of that. All he knows is that God promised him that he would be a blessing to the world and that his offspring would be a blessing to the world. That's all he knows. And he's pretty broke at this point. He's just going because he's sort of running away from all the things he did back home. But he makes that pledge. "I will give you 1/10. Now, we always think that the tithe, the 1/10, comes from that rule in Leviticus. But this is the first place we hear about the 1/10 of all that I receive. He's not doing it as a mandate by God. He's doing it as a response to God. "God, you love me enough to make this promise to me. Me, Jacob, the trickster, that I promise to give back to you 1/10 of all I receive." So he honored the sacred space by making it a very special sacramental moment. And then he made a promise and a pledge. Well, this Sunday is the beginning of our time of considering our pledge to God. What is what we call our loyalty to the relationship that God has with us? So when we get to that time of our closing hymn, what I'm going to ask you to do, they're very well oiled, by the way, is to pick up, it's olive oil, so in case you have allergies, I thought I'd let you know what oil I use. Pick up a stone to remember those sacred places where you and God met. It might have been here. It might have been someplace else. and then to pick up a pledge card. And on November 8th, we're going to offer those pledge cards back to God. We're going to put them on the altar rail on our last hymn. Jacob pledged a tenth. For some, that's a hard number. But pledge. Pledge what you can. Because making that pledge says that you trust that God will bless you as God has blessed you in the past and in the future. And that you wish that blessing to go out into the world through the gift of God's church. This awesome place here. Now, I don't often do this, but does anyone want to share an awesome place that they have met God this morning? Well, then I have one final awesome place I want to share. Where I have met God. It's called Pilgrimage. It's happening in a couple weeks. And the first time I ever went to Pilgrimage, I had no idea what was going to happen. And we were sitting way up in the rafters on the wrong side. Never do that ever again, because the kids up there have no idea what they're doing, and they're horsing around so much you can't even pay attention. But when the lights went down and the countdown happened and everybody rose and we began to sing, I looked around, 6,000 youth and youth leaders praising God in one loud voice. And I was fairly new to the whole experience, and that newness struck me of, wow, God is in this awesome place, the Colosseum in Fayetteville, that doesn't look so great in the light, but when those lights go down, it is the beauty of the Lord. And then I got appointed here, and I took some kids to Pilgrimage. And one Sunday, as the music was going, there was a young man who dropped to his knees, and in the midst of the music was praying up to heaven. How awesome is this place? But how awesome is this place where God meets us every Sunday? If we open our eyes and open our hearts to the gift that God gives us in worship. So we're going to sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And if we finish the hymns and people are still coming, Patricia will just continue to play. So let God work on your heart. All you have to do this morning is take the card and the stone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.